the Lord just one more time. For that we ought to be eternally grateful. I'm truly thankful to see all who have come out this morning to worship God in spirit and in truth. I appreciate the invitation to come. I bring my auntie up here to the bus station this morning and called brother Daniels on the phone and said, what time does service start? I know y'all started a little earlier than normal. I said, what time does service start? And he told me, and he said, you coming up here? I said, yeah. He said, you gonna bring a message with you? I said, well, I guess I could. Amen. Amen. But I'm just truly thankful for the invitation to come. And as always, when I come here, I feel like I'm coming home. Amen. Yeah, because y'all make me feel that way. And thank you to Brother Jones and the leadership of this congregation once again. Let's call your attention to the book of Psalms, chapter number 13. Psalms chapter number 13, and we appreciate the brethren who come before us and leading us in our worship service for each and everything that you've done, preparing our minds and getting our minds ready to receive with meekness the engrafted word of God, which is able to save our soul. Psalms the 13th chapter. For the scripture reading, I'm reading from the King James Version. The scripture reads, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemies say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thine mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Thus is the reading from Psalms 13, verses 1 through 6. And if I had a subject to present for your consideration on this morning, I would present the subject of how to behave in a cave. How to behave in a cave. The writer here of the book of Psalms being King David. King David, known as to be a chief musician. He could play different musical instruments. He could write different songs. And David, not only was he a musician, but David was also a shepherd. For his father, Jesse, raised up 8 sons, and they were all shepherds of the flock. This is the same David, if we go back just a little bit, this is the same David that when Samuel, over in 1 Samuel 16, when Samuel came to Jesse and said, one of your sons is going to be raised up as the king of Israel. And he went and got his eldest son, and he said, no, he's not the one. He got his next son, and he presented him, and he said, no, no, he's not the one. And he went down the line till he said, I only got one left. And he's a little fella, and he's out there tending to the flock. He went and got him and came back, and the scripture said he had a glow about him. And Samuel looked at him and said, he's the one. He's going to be the next king of Israel. This is that same David who was friend with King Saul's son named Jonathan. Y'all remember Jonathan and David? How close friends they were. This is the same David who Saul got jealous of when he came back from the slaughter of the Philistine. And the women were there chanting. They said, Saul has slain his 1,000, but David his 10,000. When he said that, see, jealousy set in with Saul. And Saul wanted to destroy or kill David. From that point forward, this is that same David who looked out for Saul when Saul fell from the throne. When Jonathan was in trouble, David took care and looked after Jonathan. Is that all right? Then this is that same David who was raised up as the king, raised up as the king of Israel. He was part of the tribe of Judah. But when they came together, he then was raised up as king of Israel. And see, when you start elevating in position, you find out that you've got a lot of enemies that you didn't know you had. Because of jealousy's sake, because of envy's sake, because sometimes they just don't like you. Is that all right? And that's what happened here with David. David was surrounded. The Bible talks about how he was compassed about with a lot of with his enemies. David had enemies within, and David had enemies without. David didn't know who his enemies were. All he knew was they was all around about him. Thus, God made provision for David in a cave. And that's what we find ourselves here in the 13th chapter. He made provision for him in this cave. Everything that David needed was in that cave. But you see, David didn't like being in the cave. Now, I must say that if I was the king of Israel, and I was the chief, commander-in-chief of an army, and I had to hide in the cave, I wouldn't have liked it either. Is that all right? But God had a reason for him to be there. David didn't like it. Now, I'm going to show you how he didn't like it. Now, y'all watch me now. Here we go. Look at chapter 13. Y'all know I like for you to read. Verses 1 and 2. Now, I want to show you something here. David was upset. David was mad at God. Y'all didn't hear me. David was mad at God. That's a dangerous thing. He was upset with God. How do you know? What did he say, Brother Jones?
How long wilt thou forget me?
How long wilt thou forget me, forever. O Lord? Forever? Now, let me show y'all how David really said it. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? See, it's a dangerous thing to talk to God like that. I got a daughter. Only one I got. Only child I got. I got a daughter, she's 25, and if she ever talks to me like that, she wouldn't make it to 26. Amen. Don't talk to me crazy. Amen. But he was talking to God. How long do you forget me, O Lord? Forever? Read on.
How long wilt thou hide thy face from
it? Now, how long are you going to hide your face from it? Y'all, can y'all hear David getting smart with God? Uh-huh. Read on. How long am I going to have to take counsel in myself?
Having sorrow in my heart
every day. I'm suffering, God. I'm going through some things in this cave. I don't want to be in this cave. I'm the king of Israel.
Right.
And you're going to leave me in this cave. Read on.
How long shall my enemies be exalted over me?
You're putting my enemies over me. Talking crazy to God. Y'all hear that? How long are you going to do these things? You're going to exalt my enemies over me. How long what? Read on.
Consider and hear me, O Lord.
Hold on. I'm going to show you something. That's verses number 1 and 2. Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
Verses number 1 and 2, you can write this down if you want to. David talked at God. A-T. He talked at God. 1 and 2. How long? Gonna forget me, oh Lord, forever? How long am I had to take counsel in myself? How long are you gonna hide your face from me? Oh, he's upset. He's showing out on God. That's a bad thing to do. But I want to show you something here. David realized he was talking crazy to God, and he shifted gears. You want me to show you how he shifted gears? Read verse number 3 and 4.
Consider and hear me, O Lord my God.
Can I show you how that sounds? Watch this. How long, O Lord? You going to hide your face from me. How long am I going to have to go through this situation? How long am I going to have to deal with all this? How long, O Lord? Then he realized something, and he said, but consider thy servant. Do you see it? But consider thy servant. Read on.
Consider and hear me, O Lord my God.
Consider and hear me, O Lord God.
Light mine eyes.
Light mine eyes.
Lest I sleep the sleep of death.
Unless I die. Now, read on.
Lest my enemies say.
He said, lest my enemies say.
I have prevailed against him.
I prevailed against him.
And those that trouble me.
They rejoice when I am moved.
But I have
hold on. Now, watch this. 1 and 2, David talked. All right, y'all can help me now. Y'all can help me. 1 and 2, David talked at God. 2 and 3, David, I mean, 3 and 4, David talked T-O. He talked to God. Does that make any sense? He shifted gears. He was talking at God. How long, oh Lord? 3 and 4, but consider. Do you see that? Consider. Take this under consideration, please, God. Do you see that? Now, I'm fixing to show y'all something else. He shifted gears again. And that's what I want to show you. And this is a lesson to be yours. He shifted gears again in 5 and 6. Let's see what he said in 5 and 6.
But I have trusted in thy mercy.
Oh, but I have trusted in thy mercy.
My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation.
My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation.
I will sing unto the Lord.
I will sing unto the Lord.
Because
he has dealt bountifully with me. You know what he done this time? 1 and 2, David talked at God. 3 and 4, he talked to God. And 5 and 6, he praised God. He praised God. So he went from talking at God to talking to God and then giving God some praise. Is that all right? Now watch this. How to behave in a cave, going from a problem to a praise. Are you with me? How to behave in a cave, going from a problem to a praise. There are a lot of us that are faced every day with cave moments. We have to deal with cave issues. The question then becomes, how do we behave in our cave? Are we going to start talking at God? God, you know this situation I'm in. I don't know why you allow me to go through all this. God, I don't understand what's going on. Have you ever prayed before and started talking about the negative things that God is allowing you to go through? That's talking at God. What you talking about, Brother Holman? Oh, Lord, I'm striving down here. Lord, I don't know why you allow me to go through all these things. Lord, you know my heart, and my heart is good. Y'all understand? Uh-huh. You talking at God. God knows what you're going through. God knows your heart. God knows your life. He knows what you're going through. So you don't talk at God. You talk to God. Don't let that old Negro spiritual. You know the old Negro spirituals they used to sing way back in the day? Don't let that old Negro spiritual get you in trouble with God. Is that all right? Let me give you, y'all looking at me funny. Let me give you an example. Jesus on the main line, tell him what you want. Oh, call him up and tell him what you want. That'll get you in trouble with God. Because you got to realize you don't tell God nothing. The scripture told me, you ask and it shall be. Seek and ye shall. Knock and it shall be. You ask. James said it a long time ago. James said you have not. Because you ask not. Amen. You gonna go around telling God what? God, I need you. I want you to do this. God, do this and do that for me. Just fix it for me right now, Lord. My daughter, I love her. I love her to death. My daughter, boy, she says she's something else. She, I love her to death. One day when she used to lead me to thing, she used to hit me up for money all the time. See, and I come to figure out that her mama was putting her up to it. Whenever there was something needed for a school or some kind of little something she wanted to do, she'd go ask her mama, and her mama say, "Go ask your daddy." Well, you know, she was my heart. Y'all understand? You look good. You look girl. That's your heart. Hey, man. She come and ask me, and I just pull my wallet out. Here you go. Whatever you need, sweetie. Here you go. One day, she came to me wrong. See? She came to me and said, "Daddy, give me $5. I don't know who you're talking to. Hey, man. See, it used to be, "Daddy, can I have? Daddy, will you give me?" And my heart just melted. "Yeah, here you go, baby. Here you. Daddy, give me $5. I said to myself, I looked at her right in her face and said, "No." And turned my head. Well, you know, yeah, she brought him back and just busted out crying. Ah! Went there talking to her, hollering at her mama. Then here come my mama with her hand on the hip. "Why come you can't give a child $5? I said, "Because she didn't ask me." She said, "I thought you said you asked your daddy." She said, "I did." And I said, "No, she didn't." She come in here and said, "Daddy, give me $5. See, you don't tell me what to do. You ask me. And I'm just a man. I'm just a man. But what about God? You don't tell God what to do. You ask God." Mm-hmm. And see, there's a way to do everything. Now watch this. When you pray, make for sure in your prayer that you are talking to God. And somewhere in that prayer, you need to give him some praise. That's the example David is giving you here. You see that? Don't talk at him, talk to him. Let me show you. Let me give you an example. I would like to have me one of those Escalades. I would love to have me an Escalade. I really would. But my bank said, so I just keep on doing what I'm doing. But I would like to have me one. So sometimes I may even pray for one. You know what I say? I don't say, "God, I've been preaching the gospel for 25 years. I sacrificed my life for you. Why come you can't give me an Escalade?" That's talking at God. Does that make any sense? But rather I can say, "Consider thy servant, O Lord, for a 2019 Escalade." But now, God, I thank you for the little Toyota Camry that I got. Because that little Toyota Camry you blessed me with, every time I hit the switch, it'll start. Every time I put it in the gear, it goes. I get from point A to point B, and I don't break down. I thank you, God, for my Toyota Camry. I can fill it up full of gas and ride for a long time. You had a Toyota. You know what I'm talking about. Yes, sir. Uh-huh. Ride for a long time. Thank you, God. I'm going to praise him. Thank you. If you don't give it to me, I appreciate everything you've done for me. Sometime we need to go back and take a look and examine ourselves. Sometime your cave moment. May be actually in the church. And I'm going to quit on this. It may be actually in the church. You know, in the church, you can be in a cave. Y'all looking at me funny. When you can't come to worship and worship God in spirit and in truth and do it the way God wants it done, that's a cave moment for you. Why is it, Brother Holman, that some people can't worship God the way he wants them to worship? Why is it some people can't worship God in spirit and in truth? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because of grudges. Hello, light bulbs. Grudges. Jealousy. Envious. Backbiters. Backstabbers. Amen. All of these things that sometimes get caught up in your mind can be your cave moment. It can keep you from worshiping God acceptably. How so? I can't worship God in spirit and in truth. I'm sitting there every time I hear you sneeze, every time I hear you cough, I'm watching out the corner of my eye to see if you move back there and all that kind of stuff. Hey, man, I'm avoiding you going all the way around over here on this aisle, so I ain't got to come down this aisle and speak to you. Hello, somebody. That's your cave moment. Now, the question then becomes, how are you going to behave in a cave? Y'all remember what Paul told Timothy? Paul told Timothy, said, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. A lot of time, our cave moments, is because we have these cave moments in the church, is because we don't know how to act in God's house. Amen. Amen. A lot of folk don't know how to act in God's house. You come in here any kind of old way. Mm-hmm. Saying any old kind of thing. Doing any old kind of thing. Mm-hmm. See, I'm not fussing. I'm just telling you the truth. Because that's somebody you sitting out there right now that can't stand the person down the pew from you. That's somebody sitting out there right now that just can't stand what Brother Jones might have said 2 or 3 weeks ago from the sermon at the pulpit. You mad with him. You got mad at him. You didn't come last Sunday. You showed up this Sunday with rocks in your drawers. Hello, somebody. See, I've been in this business a long time, too. Hey, man, not alone, Brother Jones. I've been in this business for a while, so I know what goes on. I know how folk act. I know how folk are. And a lot of times, those kind of things are your cave moments. But how are you going to behave in that cave? You know something? If you got an alt against your brother, there ain't no need going to tell this brother. No need going to tell Brother Pryor. Ain't no need going to tell, if I got a problem with Jones, I'm coming to Jones. Why? Because I'm a man. I'm a man. I ain't no sissy. I'm a man. I ain't going to run around behind his back and start talking all kind of crazy stuff about him behind his back, then get in his face. Hey, Brother Jones, how you doing, Brother Jones? How you doing? Everything all right, Brother Jones? That's coward. That's a cowardly act. If I got a problem with Jones, I'm coming to Jones. Yes, now, I'm not going to come sideways ready to fight with the man. No, I'm going to come to him as a brother. And he and I are going to sit down and work that thing out alone. Ain't that, is that Bible? That's how you do it. See? It's all this running around, backstabbing, backbiting, and all that kind of stuff does nothing more than create division in the Lord's church. And if there's ever a time that we need to stand together, that time is right now. We need to be together. We don't need that division. Get that devil man out of here, because that's all it is, a devil man. Mm-hmm. Devil man. But I'll tell you, in my life, I tell you, I've dealt with some things and some issues in my time that just make the tears run from your eyes sometimes. But I tell you, through it all, I learned something. I learned that I had a friend. I had a friend in Jesus. All right, I had a friend. Sometimes I look for a friend, but I'd be looking in the wrong place. I'd be looking for a friend that's cute. She had to look good. She had to look good. She had to be a certain kind of way and all that. You know, I've learned something. That's not really a friend, because sometimes, you know what they'll do? They'll mistreat you and walk away from you. When trouble comes, they'll leave you alone. But I tell you today, I recommend a friend for you if you don't have one. If you're looking for somebody to be your friend, I recommend somebody to you. I recommend Jesus. Yeah, this friend that I found, you know, when I was at my lowest point in my life, I'll share this with you. We family. I'll share this with you. If I was at the lowest point in my life, I reach out to some of my brothers that I thought was my friend. And when I reach out for them, they turn their back on me. And the lowest point in my life, instead of giving me a hand up, they kicked me while I was down. It's in time like those. I said, I got to find me a different, a new friend. But I found a friend who said, Holman, I'll be a friend that's closer than a brother. Amen. Holman, I just don't want you to be weary and well-doing. Well, you're going to reap one day if you faint not. That friend I found said, Holman, cast all your cares upon me, for I care for you. That friend I found said, trust in me with all thine heart and lean not to your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Said, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. I found this friend, and he, you know, I said to myself, who is this man? If you're wondering, his name is King Jesus. Amen. And I want you to know that as long as you've got King Jesus, you don't need nobody else. All right, my time has gotten away, and I was just finished. Let it get good to me, amen. But that's all right. Time is getting away, but I hope you got the lesson today. How to behave in your cave. Going from a problem to a praise. Make for sure you talk to God and then praise him. Mm-hmm. Praise him. If God doesn't bless you with what you want at the time you want it, remember, things are not done in your time, but in due time. They're on God's time. In God's time. Remember that old song, I think it's Dottie Peoples used to say? She said something about he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. And he is on time. He'll be right on time. Give your problems over to him. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Oftentimes we make the mistake of going back trying to pick up our burdens and do something with them. But let me share this with you. You wasn't able to do anything with them in the beginning with them. So there's no need in going back and taking them away from God and think you're going to do something with them this time. But give them to God and forget about them. God will take care of them. If somebody has done something tragic to you, don't go back and say, I'm going to get them back for the last thing I do. Mm-mm. Give it to God. Because when you give it to God, somewhere I read, he said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. Give it to God. Give your burdens to the Lord and then praise him. Praise him. Sometimes you even have to praise him and thank him for your enemies. I'm going to let that settle in for just a couple seconds here. Sometimes you have to thank him and praise him for your enemies. You know why? Because your enemies cause you to get closer to him. Thank him for it. Thank him. Thank him for it. He'll take care of it. He'll make your enemies your footstool. If you're here this morning, not a member of the Lord's church, you ought to become one. You come by hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the death, the burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. After you hear the gospel of Christ, you then must believe it. That's Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6. Without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that come to God must believe that he is. He's rewarded them that diligently seek him. Then repent of your sins. Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5. I tell you nay, except you repent, you should all likewise to perish. Stand before men, confess the sweetest name upon mortal tongue. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Matthew 10, 32. Whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father, which is in heaven. Then be buried with him in baptism. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Be resurrected, therefore, to walk in the newness of life. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Will you come this morning?